Today, I am talking to an absolute rock star in the influencer marketing world, but one who also happens to be a stepmom and have one of the best relationships with her stepchildren's mom that I've ever seen. You are not going to want to miss this.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, step-family life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
Today's guest and I actually met sitting next to each other at a dinner hosted by a mutual friend of ours, Susie Moore, in Miami. And the more I talked to her about her family life and what a total rock star, badass career woman she is, the more I thought, I've got to have her on this podcast. Stepmoms have got to hear from her. So I'm really excited today that we have got Sarah Boyd with us. Sarah is the founder and creative force behind Simply, which is a collective with one goal in mind, connecting. She started her career in fashion PR and in 2012 decided to channel her expert industry know-how along with her extensive list of contacts and relationships into starting her own business. She founded the Simply Do What You Love event, which is an annual fashion and beauty conference in LA, New York, Chicago, Dubai. And since 2012, Simply has hosted tens of thousands of attendees. In 2016, she started managing some of the most sought-after celebrity influencers. Her current and past clients include Alessandra Ambrosio, Jamie Chung, Olivia Culpo, Julianne Hough, Lauren Bushnell Lane, Jana Kramer, and many more who look to her to help them capitalize on their influential status in the entertainment industry to make their mark in the influencer world. Her reach is undeniable. She has secured partnerships with City, Topshop, Barney's New York, and many, many more. She's been featured in Marie Claire, People Style Watch, Fox News, E! Entertainment, LA Business Journal, just to name a few. She was named a female founder to watch by Forbes and is now Forbes Fashion and Beauty contributor. In 2017, Sarah completed a successful acquisition for Simply with Socialyte under the Nylon parent company, and Sarah then became president of Socialyte. And in 2018, she co-founded the Moms and Babes box with partner Jana Kramer. It's a quarterly subscription box filled with full-size products for moms and their babies. In 2020, Sarah and Jana sold the business, but remain advisors and the face of the brand. In 2022, Socialyte was acquired by Dolphin Entertainment, and then last year, Socialyte and Be Social merged to become the digital department, and Sarah is currently the co-CEO. This is a really fun conversation. Not only is Sarah a total badass CEO, she also, and I mentioned this earlier, has the best relationship with her stepkids' moms that I have maybe ever seen. It's pretty amazing. Her husband's ex-wife is a reporter and personality and influencer, Kat Sadler. You may be familiar with her, but it is amazing how they have navigated their family situation and family dynamic, especially when, you know, they are all, you know, high profile personalities. So I can't wait for you to hear from her. We have a really fun discussion, so we will just jump right in.
Sarah, welcome. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I know this was, I'm so glad we were able to make this work. So for my listeners, Sarah and I met in the early fall back in Miami, and I was so excited, Sarah, to talk to you about your family and your interesting dynamic that I was like, I have to get you on this podcast. So for everyone listening, what I always like to start out with is to tell me your stepmom origin story. So how did you meet your husband and become a stepmom? And then we're going to jump into all the things.
Yeah. And it's ironic that we were seated next to each other and it was a perfect
match. I know, right?
So I met my husband in Los Angeles. I just moved to Florida about 3 years ago. So I was currently living in LA and he had just moved about a year ago. He's from Indiana originally. So him and his ex-wife and family moved to LA, got divorced, and then he was a new single man out on the scene. So I met him at an event. And then again, through a friend of mine that worked with him that brought him into a work, meeting with me. So, we were both kind of like texting my friend, our mutual friend, saying like, who's that person? Who's that person? So she's like, okay, well, let me put you guys together. And after that, kind of the rest was history. I did know that he was a dad of two boys and recently divorced. So I was a little bit hesitant because it was, you know, about 6 months after his divorce. And I was 25 at the time. This is many years ago.
But that's a lot at 25.
Yeah, you know, it's a big decision dating someone. You know, he's 7 years older than me and he had, you know, two boys and recently divorced. So that was definitely something I had to think about and really consider before, you know, jumping into dating him. But yeah, that's our story.
And so how old were the boys when you met them?
At the time, they were 2 and 6.
Okay. So that's young. That's great. So they have, I mean, for most of their memories, they know, you know, having you around, which is great.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the oldest, he has very few memories without me around, but the youngest, I don't think he remembers anything before me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your dynamic with your husband's ex, because this is the reason I wanted to talk to you about it, because it's so unusual. And because I talked to so many stepmoms where they're in this high conflict, you know, situation with their spouse's ex. And it's, you know, just all of this consternation and sniping back and forth. And your situation is very different from that.
Yes.
Talk about Kat. Your husband's ex is Kat Sadler, who, if you're listening, you may remember from E! Network and is an online influencer and does all kinds of, you know, acting, producing, all that kind of stuff. But you guys are actually like legit best friends, right? Or
yeah,
close to it. I don't want to mischaracterize.
No, we are. No, we're very close. I actually, we represent her and manage her at my agency and we go on trips together. We've become, yeah, best friends, and it's been amazing. And the kids now understand, they're 18 and 22, how rare this is, but
yes,
it helped with life in general over the last, you know, 15 years. But you know, in the beginning, it really started with Kyle and Kat, you know, having that conversation after divorce and being like, you know, look, we both came from divorced families. It was rough. Let's change that moving forward. So I remember they had a conversation, or he's told me, I wasn't there. they had a conversation after and they said, look, we can do one of two ways. And it's going to be all about love. It's going to be all about the kids. And that's the life that they both wanted. And then when new partners came in, like me or people that Kat would date, they had to fit into this mold of love for the kids. And that was first and foremost. So when I came in, I wasn't trying to be their mom. They had a mom and she's great. And they had a dad and they didn't need anyone outside. So I looked at myself as almost like a bonus mom or almost like a friend in the beginning, because Kyle would handle the discipline. They had a mom. So really my role was to be there to support Kyle and, you know, help wherever I could. So yeah, in the beginning, I mean, I was very nervous meeting her for the first time because I was this 25-year-old. She's on E! And, you know, I remember the first time that we met, he brought me to the oldest, Austin's, birthday party. And it was at their old house together. So, you know, I have all these ideas in my head and,
of
you know,
course, yeah.
All these pictures and, you know, family memories. And I walk in and, you know, Kat is there with a few of her best friends who, you know, instantly I'm the new girl. And it was, I remember it was time for cutting the cake and you know, I'm just awkwardly standing around the whole time. I don't know what to do. It's her family.
And at this point, were y'all like engaged or were you boyfriend, girlfriend? Like, what was the dynamic there?
We were dating for a few months. So okay. I was maybe dating 6 months. So yeah. I had already met the kids, but I hadn't met her yet.
Right. Okay.
And so we come in and I remember she's cutting the cake and I walked up and I said, hey, can I help scoop the ice cream? And we always talk about it so cheesy, but at that moment we knew it was about love and, you know, you have your friends and family and all the people in your ear as most, you know, ex-wives or new girlfriends, they talk probably not great about you and set up that negativity. But as soon as I met Kat, she's lovely. And when we had that moment cutting the cake and serving the ice cream, it was just like, we knew that this was our path forward. And that was it. I mean, that was our first meeting. And then of course it grew from there. And, you know, it's been 15 years now and it's been wonderful. And the boys just, they don't know any different.
That's amazing. And so she was there that day with like her, you know, best friends. And obviously, I mean, we've all been there, right? Especially if you're in a high conflict situation where like you're going to a kid's sporting event or a birthday party and you walk in and you're just like, what are these ladies saying about me? Like, who do they know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you heard anything or did you hear anything at the time from her after the fact about like, oh, my friends were going to, you know, they were ready to hate you or, you know what I mean? Like some of the, like, cause I know you, that must've been so nerve wracking.
It's so nerve wracking. And yeah, so they definitely were, you know, Team Kat and teens. And my friends did the same thing. They're like, oh, you're this, you're that, you know, try to pump me up. And I'm like, why do we do that in society? You know, it's an instant, you have to hate the ex or hate the new girlfriend. When in reality, I feel like I gained a best friend. I gained a family, like her family. We all get together on the holidays and, you know, her mom is friends with my mom. Like they would have never met if we didn't
That's amazing.
All come together, you know? So I feel like I gained so much out of this. And I think all of us feel the same. You know, it's one big happy family.
You know, that's the situation that I think so many stepmoms wish they could have. And I think that, you know, even when you know that your spouse is high conflict with the ex, like you still want to come in and be like, but this could be great. Like we could all be friends, you know, we could do this. And I mean, I know in my situation, I've talked about this before with my listeners, you know, I organized a dinner where me and my husband and his ex went out to dinner to like try and, you know, move forward. Uh-huh. Total disaster. Like when people aren't ready to do that, it's not going to happen, you know? So it's amazing to me that you had all three of you were really putting these kids first and saying, you know what, this is about love and we're going to get along regardless of whether we like each other. And oh, it turns out we really do like each other, you know?
Well, I mean, they married both of us, you know, my husband married both of us. So we obviously have something in common.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. And it is hard. If everyone's not on board, it's obviously not going to work. So everyone has to have the maturity level and the acceptance and the willingness to all come together and make this happen. It's not for everyone.
Yeah, totally. So what, I mean, has it been all like roses and unicorns from the beginning or have you had stumbling blocks where you've had to sit down and be like, okay, look, we got to like straighten this out.
Between Kat and I, no. I mean, her and Kyle, as the parents of kids, they've definitely had arguments over the years about, you know, random things. But between Kat and I, no. It's always been great, as crazy as that sounds. She's just a really good person and a big heart. And I'm pretty easygoing as well. So honestly, no.
That makes it so much easier for you. But I know like when they've had their disagreements, has that been challenging? Because obviously like you're wanting to be the supportive partner for your husband. Mm-hmm. And if they're in conflict, is that, how have you handled that? Because you do have this great relationship with her. Is that sort of just saying, I'm going to stay out of this? Or is it like, hey, honey, I support you, but like, don't involve me. Like, how have you handled
that? I stay out of it. Like any parenting things, like they have their own, you know, meetings and I trust him obviously completely. I think that was a big piece of this moving into it. Like when I first met him, you know, you never want to hear about the ex-wife. And I heard about the ex-wife almost every day because he was trying to overly communicate to me everything because he didn't want anything left for me to make up in my head. So I think that was like a blessing and a curse because I'm like, I feel like I know her and was married to her too, you know? So, but it was also good because there was nothing for me to wonder what if, or what happened then, or nothing. So he was very open in the beginning, which made me really trust him and understand like, okay, if you need to go there and have a family meeting, it's all good. Like there's, I know that you're in love with me and I'm it and that's over. So especially as a 25-year-old, you know, you have a lot of what ifs going on in your head, especially when his ex-wife is on TV.
Yes. I was just thinking that like how secure must you have been as a person and still are that you're able to say like, hey, I know that what we have is real and I'm not worried.
Yeah. And because I think that had to do with it is the over-communication and just him being completely open about everything.
Yeah, that's so great. So y'all are on different coasts now because you've been in Miami for a few years. Mm-hmm. And the boys are older. How was the custody split? Like, did y'all move after they were already kind of out of the house? Or like, what was the custody split that you guys had?
Yeah, so we moved 3 years ago. So the youngest was like turning 16. And then the oldest was 19. So the oldest was in college, out of the house. And the youngest, he had like a year, you know, a couple years left of high school. So it was also COVID too. So I remember the first few months we lived here, the youngest was basically living with us doing Zoom out of his bedroom. So it was kind of a different time. It wasn't normal times where he'd be in high school. So I feel like the first year was just back and forth COVID with a computer. And then the second year was hard because it was a senior year of high school and we weren't there for it. That was really hard on my husband, especially, but we would bring him here for the holidays, Christmas, the summer he's off. So we'd have him here most of the summer, spring break. So we just took what we could get. And then now he's in college as well. So he's in Indiana and our oldest is still in LA. So, but custody before that, we never really had scheduled days. We were always pretty close, 15 minutes away from each other. So, you know, if Kat had an event to go to, we'd pick up the kids or we'd take them for a week or they, you know, it was very fluid, maybe not great for the boys who had to always be packing their bags and moving all around, but we really didn't have a structure. We were pretty loose in case, you know, one of us had a trip or work or something, the other would pick up.
That's so interesting. You talk about, you know, the boys packing and cause we dealt with that, with our stepkids, you know, we've gone back and forth between doing like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off and a week on, week off. And it's interesting cause like when I was growing up, I'm a stepdaughter, my parents were divorced. And back then, you know, dads only got the kids like, I don't know, a couple weekends a month or, you know, it just, or a couple weeks in the summer. Like now it's so wonderful that, you know, they really do try, courts at least try and have kids spend, you know, as much time at both houses as possible and recognizing that every parent is important. So it's really, but it does present that challenge for the kids. And I know talking to ours, it's like, they really want to be at both houses, but they really hate packing up and like feeling like they're living out of a suitcase, you know?
Yeah,
and like,
I get that.
One of my kids is a freshman in college and it's the longest she's spent in one location, right? Because she's like in her dorm room and doesn't have to go between houses. So it's, I'm sure yours are the same way. It's like a different, you know, there's sort of benefits and drawbacks to that.
Yeah. And we try to make it as much like their room as we can everywhere we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, have clothes there. And, but our youngest was in baseball. So it's like, oh, the baseball bags at mom's house and we're over here and we, and then 3 days we have to go to a meet. Like it was just,
yes.
It was a lot. And I felt bad for the extra stress on them, but, they did pretty good. It taught them to be responsible and think ahead. And, Yeah.
And I think kids adjust. I think that the benefits way outweigh the drawbacks, because they do get to spend time with both parents and really have those formative relationships, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you and Kat both have these like powerhouse careers, you know, and y'all are both so busy, and you even did, I was reading that you did a joint boot camp at Indiana, for influencers, which is amazing. I love how close y'all are. How do you guys, I mean, of course the kids are mostly grown, but how did y'all balance all of it with both of y'all and your husband just being these kind of big career people, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I look back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did we do it? I mean, we definitely had help and it was a team effort and we had our army. So, you know, I had a nanny because we had, my husband and I had a daughter in 2016. So a third kid. And so, yeah, we definitely had a nanny and that was really it on our end. And then I know Kat had a nanny to help out, you know, when the kids were younger, but we really just divided and conquered and all about communication. That group text was always going off all day just to kind of fill in the gaps of, okay, who's getting them from school today? I mean, there have definitely been days where they were left at school and we thought she's picking them up she thought we were picking them up and they're like, I'm at school alone. You know, there have definitely been those moments because we're just moving too fast. But yeah, I mean, they survived and we're here. Definitely a team effort.
What is something that you wish you knew when you started out? I mean, you've had this great experience and great, you know, relationship with, you know, not just your relationship, but with your husband's ex-wife, which is, I mean, it's just amazing. But what is something you wish you'd known?
Well, I was really scared. Like I said, when I was 25 years old and jumping into this situation, you know, I kind of did this at a young age, which I kind of pat myself on the back for. I think it was because I was single for so long in LA and I was like, well, he's a really good guy. So I think you have to look beyond the what ifs and looking too far ahead and just kind of let things play out, and go with your gut. So that's what I did. And I was like, look, I'm not going to marry the guy. I'll go on a couple dates. 15 years later. But, you know, I follow my gut. If I would have been dating him and she was an absolute nightmare, it probably wouldn't have lasted. And, yeah. You know, same. I was always kind of waiting for the boys to say like, well, you're not my mom, or have that attitude. Never once in 15 years got that. So I think if the situation would have been different, I don't know if we would be here today.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love that, the trust your gut, because that is huge. I was the same way when I met my husband. I had been dating in DC, which is not dissimilar from LA in terms of the dating scene, yeah. Just generally sucking. I was like, well, this guy seems nice. So what, he's got four kids, you know, and you right. Kind of like, you do trust your gut and you kind of jump in like, okay, well, this could be really amazing or it could be really terrible and hopefully it'll work, you know?
Yep, that's how I live life in general, with work, with personal life, with everything. It's your gut is your most important compass, I think.
I think that's so true. And I mean, for all the stepmoms listening, like, I think that's such a good and important piece of advice, is if your gut's telling you something, you really should listen. Mm-hmm. What would you tell a stepmom? Like I said at the beginning, we have a lot of stepmoms that listen who do really struggle with their partner's ex. What would you tell them? What would you tell someone who's really struggling with that relationship? Something that, you know, has helped you guys over the years.
I know. I've met a lot of people that are just wishing they had a relationship like us. And I feel bad because I know we're very rare to have a relationship at our level, but I would try to get FaceTime with the ex and have that one-to-one relationship. I think that's really where it stems. Like, forget the problems they had with the ex-husband, but I think that's the core relationship that you have to build in order to build collectively as a family. So I would try as hard as you can to like grab a glass of wine, loosen up, and just come together as people and humans, because you're probably more alike than you know. And if all the emotions could be taken away and come together as like woman to woman and connect in some way, I mean, you are with their kids every day. And if I got divorced, I would want to know who's hanging out with my daughter every day, right? Like building that relationship, I think is first and foremost, the most important to having a modern family like we do. I don't know. I would say that's the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good way to look at things. You know, obviously there are situations where mom's not amenable or it's not possible, you know, but I think when you can, and I know my husband and I have had a high conflict relationship with his ex, but there've been little moments, like little glimmers. And I remember one time going to a football game with her to watch my stepdaughter cheer. And it was just us. And it was like the one time that we really were able to kind of relate to each other outside of everything else. And, you know, I came home and I was like, you know, if I just like met her out somewhere, we would totally be friends.
Exactly. You know? Yep. Exactly.
And it's hard.
Right. Like,
yeah,
all the emotions. And I mean, I would even say go to therapy together, or maybe the three of you. Again, everyone has to be on board and open. But yeah, a lot of it is just, you know, lots of emotions tied up in it. And
there's so many emotions that, yeah.
At the end of the day, you'd probably be friends if you met each other down the street.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that your partner married both of you, you know? I love that. So, what would you tell someone that was getting married tomorrow and to somebody that had kids? What would be your biggest piece of advice other than trust your gut? which I think is a great piece of advice, but
well, I think a divorced man is the best kept secret. They've been trained, they've been whipped into shape. They know they like marriage and they're a loyal, you know, person that's ready for the commitment. They've had kids. Like for us, having a kid was easy because he's been through it before. So it was me as a first time mom, but I felt like I was almost a second or third time mom. I just didn't have that baby phase yet. So I think they're the best guys.
I love that. And I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was 40 when I met Craig, and I figured at that point that probably whoever I ended up with was going to be divorced and maybe be a dad. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really that scared of it because I just sort of figured that that was the pool of people.
Right.
You know, unless I decided to cougar it up, that was the pool of people that was going to be out there, you know? And I agree. I mean, I think I was the one that had to get used to like sharing a house with someone else and like, you know, living with a boy and you know, all the things that come along with marriage and having kids around and all that stuff. So yeah, I totally agree. I think they're a great kept secret. So ladies, if you're listening,
find yourself a divorced man.
I know. I love it.
It was so funny. Our favorite thing to do is if say we went to Disney or went out to dinner or something, and it would be the boys, me, Kyle, Kat, maybe her ex-husband at the time, maybe not, is to ask people, what do you think our deal is? I always thought either the nanny or the sister, because I'm 7 years younger than them and I look even younger than that. So it was always like the two of them were mom and dad, and I was either the sister or the nanny. No one ever got it.
That's funny. I love that. And I love that you can like take it, you know, in a lighthearted way and not be offended. I think it's great.
Yeah. I'd always try to look older because I'm like, I am the wife, but I always look so much younger than my age, and I was already younger than him. So that was, I'm like, I need to be your wife. And I'm also like a foot shorter than him. So that doesn't help either.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'm 7 years younger than Craig too. But I'm about a half an inch taller than he is. When we met, he had told me he was 5'10" and we met, I was like, no, you're not. Well, Sarah, this is so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think this is just a really, I love for, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about all of the terrible things about being a stepmom and all of the challenges. And I love for people to hear from you who's had such a wonderful experience and, you know, such a great relationship with, you know, Kat and the boys. And I think it's really uplifting for people to hear.
Thank you. Yes. And, my best to everyone out there, all the stepmamas, you are doing amazing. It's not an easy job, but, pat on the back to everyone.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.